You're listening to the Kids Ministry Collective Podcast. Each episode of the KMC is designed to inform, encourage, and entertain those who love kids and serving kids ministry. We hope you'll enjoy today's podcast and maybe even learn a thing or two. Now let's join our team for this episode of the KMC.
Thanks for joining us on the KMC podcast. We've got another great episode that I'm looking forward to. I've been looking forward to this for a while as we've been thinking about different topics that we can bring to you, our listeners. And so I've got a good friend. We've met online years ago, but then finally ran into each other at a local ministry conference in Pennsylvania where we actually got to sit and talk. And I was thoroughly enjoyed our conversation. And so it's my pleasure to introduce Kathy Phillips. Kathy, welcome to the KMC podcast.
Thank you very much for having me.
Yeah. So Kathy, when I was living in Pennsylvania, you were in Baltimore and serving in a church down there. Why don't you introduce yourself to the listeners? Tell us a little bit about your ministry, your family, all that.
Sure. I'm Kathy from Baltimore. I'm the director of children's ministry at Central Presbyterian Church in Baltimore. We have children birth through fifth grade, and I oversee all of children's ministry along with our children's ministry team. I have an associate director whose primary focus is nursery and preschool. And then we have an administrative assistant who works along with us. So the three of us collaborate and work together to provide ministry to our about 175 on average children each week. And I am, in addition to being in ministry, I'm wife to Lance. He and I have been married for almost 22 years. All right. And we have two adult children. Our oldest is 21. He's Daniel. And we have a baby girl. She's 18 now. Our daughter, Kennedy, she starts college on Monday.
Oh,
so I have to get used to saying that I have two adult children.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes. So they're wonderful children. Our son, Daniel, is studying youth ministry right now. So he likes teenagers.
Awesome.
I work with children. So ministry runs in the family. And in addition to my family, I also blog at kidminspiration.com and contribute in a couple of other different places, writing for some different places, as well as a first-time author. My first book will be published next month, so I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, and we are going to talk about that because I want people to know and get it because it's about object lessons, and I'm an object lesson nut. So I'm always looking for new ideas, so I will definitely be buying one for sure. And yeah, I get your pain of saying the adult children thing. I have four, and my youngest just turned 20. So
okay.
I'm like, wow, they're all adults. We went on vacation a little bit ago, and we were camping, and we were checking in, and they're like, well, how many kids? And I started to say four, and then I went, oh, you're saying under 18, right? When you say that, and they're like, yeah. And I'm like, okay, no, no kids. All adults this time.
Yeah.
So six adults.
It takes some getting used to. Yes,
it does. It does. It's
but
a
they've
new
made
phase of life.
Their father and I very proud. They're very
excellent.
Good kids. Very blessed.
Well, I'm sure you guys are fantastic parents. So, and obviously it says something that your son wants to go into ministry, having been around ministry world life, because not everybody can say that, you know?
That's right.
That is real. And we'll talk about that too. We're going to be talking, I thought it'd be great to get Kathy on to talk about women in leadership. And because I know we were talking off air that she served on a panel at the Children's Pastors Conference about women in leadership and said you guys could have gone for a long time. And so obviously this is a topic that is long overdue on the KMC. And so I'm sure I'm going to end up with more questions that we'll have to come back to.
Yeah.
And we'll get some of our other friends on and do a round table. And I'll just be the fly on the wall and ask the questions and let you ladies go to town on it. So, but I just thought
it'd
be fun.
Dangerous putting a bunch of women in the room. Very dangerous.
I know. Well, it's just as dangerous putting a bunch of guys in kid ministry, because this will sound really bad, but we'll all talk like a bunch of ladies anyway, because we're just going to go on and on and in anyway. So it's all good. I think it'd be fun. So, but yeah, I wanted to talk about, I've been wanting to find some amazing lady leaders, and just to help everybody understand the joys and challenges of being in leadership. I think regardless, we all face the same things. But yet you ladies do face some things in a different way. And so I thought it would be good for us. And I'm hoping that maybe even some senior leaders that are men will hear this, and learn how to better serve their staffs. Mm-hmm. And so I think there's a lot we can all learn from each other. That's for sure.
Absolutely.
I thought this would be a good episode to dive in on. Mm-hmm. And you and I know both that for a long time, the church was kind of resistant about having women leading, you can be a Sunday school teacher.
Right.
And kind of pat you on the head. Which was a sad thing. And I'm glad the church has repented and moved forward from that. But a lot's changed. And now when you go to conferences, I often see, I kind of feel like the guys are in the minority group. You know, there's a lot more women in the conferences now than there are men sometimes.
Yes.
And so I think that's an interesting dynamic. So I would love to know from you, what were some of the challenges when you started out in kids ministry? What did you face? What were some of the obstacles, challenges that you came across?
I think one of the biggest challenges was not being invited to the table to talk about things outside of children's ministry. So as far as the larger vision of the church, the direction of the church, those were conversations that I was not invited to the table to participate in. It was almost as if it were just, oh, she's just over the kids. That's what she does. That's her area. But the bigger picture things, you know, she doesn't really need to be a part of that. And that was discouraging. And so I'm thankful that the environment that I'm in now does invite me to the table to be able to speak into things outside of children's ministry, because I do have ideas outside of kids ministry. But being invited to the table to talk about the direction of the church, to sit in on preaching team meetings, those kind of things. Longer term planning, ministry context. So I think that was one of the larger ones that was definitely a challenge. And helping those in leadership to see that I had more to offer than just planning programs for kids.
Yeah. So how did you break through with that? You started talking to your senior leaders, because I think a lot of ladies struggle with, how do I approach my senior leadership? So what did you do? What advice could you give somebody that's struggling with, boy, I know I want to say some things, but how do I say them?
Well, I think it definitely involves being courageous to have that conversation. I think you should go into it humbly, because I don't think you should go in a combative spirit or anything like that, but just speaking from the heart about how what God has laid on your heart and your desire to serve the church through children's ministry, but then also in other areas. So I think it takes courage to go and have an honest conversation and just express your desire to be part of the larger conversation, because you feel like you can speak into that. And that you want to speak into that, because, you know, as long as I've been in children's ministry, the whole conversation has been that children's ministry should be an offshoot of the church and should line up under the vision and ministry of the church at large. And so I think part of that is being part of those larger conversations.
So when you first started sitting down with your lead pastor, your senior leadership, what would the conversation look like? Give us an idea of maybe did you ask some specific questions, or what? How did you approach it?
They actually came to me to get my ideas. But some of it also came from kind of hallway conversations as well. Kind of talking about what we were doing in children's ministry, and then just so happened to hear, oh, our outreach team is doing that too. Maybe we can collaborate together. So I think most of it came from hallway conversations and then collaborating with different ministry departments and then seeing the need for us to not operate in silos. And so inviting everybody to be around the table, because we were all doing very similar things with a similar goal, but everybody was operating in silos.
Yeah.
So I think it was just like, hey, they're doing that. They're doing something similar. Let's all get together and talk about it. So our church right now is very intentional on trying to do away with the ministry silos and bring everybody together around the table.
That's great. So what have been some of the benefits of that change and shift? Because I think there's still a lot of churches struggling with the silo mentality. We talk about it. We say there shouldn't be. I think we all agree there shouldn't be silos. But yet we always know there will be in some ways, because everybody has their age focused things. So there's going to be some, but what, instead of having just that one, you know, I grew up around farms, so I know, you know, you've got a small silo door.
Yeah.
But instead, why don't we make them more like the warehouses, the grain storage areas where they're, you could drive a semi into it, you know?
Yes.
So how did you widen the doors, so to speak? And what were some of the benefits that you've seen from doing that?
I think the benefits, I'll start with that, have been definitely getting insight into what other ministries are doing and seeing the great leadership that we have around the table. So it's been good for me to learn from other ministry department leaders and how they lead their teams, what they're using to lead their teams, what's working and what's not. We have had the privilege of inviting some other ministry department heads to come and help us to like train our student leaders in the program that our student ministry leaders are doing. We've been able to incorporate some of that into how we train our student ministry leaders, just so that it's more cohesive. And I think that that's another benefit, is by having these conversations, we have ministry cohesion that didn't necessarily exist beforehand.
Right.
And I think just being in an environment where you can sit around the table and ask questions and learn from each other, that's been such a huge benefit to me personally. I always want to pick their brains and see what they're thinking, what they're using. That's been huge.
Excellent. Excellent. I love it. All right. Well, let's dive into just a little bit of a different angle. Let's talk about, because there's been a lot of, we had Frank Bieler on recently talking about The Myth of Balance, which is a great book for men and women leaders struggling.
Yes, I have the book.
Do you? Good.
I have the book.
Good,
yes.
good. It was a great conversation with him, and then even a great conversation with Jessica. I've had the privilege of having both of them on, and to hear about how they struggle with balance. I can imagine being a mom of kids, and obviously you raised them while doing ministry. What were some of the struggles? Let's talk about that first, and then we'll work into what you came through with. But what were some of the struggles that you felt as a woman in leadership and doing ministry and being a mom? How did you juggle all that?
Well, before I went into ministry full time, I had been a stay-at-home mom for 10 years. So that was a huge transition in dividing up my time. And I felt like at that particular time, I was ready for the next season of life, of ministry, and turning my focus a little bit. So initially, I would say that the challenges were making sure that I still gave my children and my home the attention that it needed. That was a struggle because with ministry being a part of my life at that time, there were a lot of things that no longer got done around the house. And just the feelings of being neglectful to things that used to take my time that no longer got the attention that it used to. Mm-hmm. So it was definitely a mind shift for me and for my family as well, that mom is not going to be able to do a lot of the things that I used to do. But I felt like at that time, my kids were of the age to be able to start helping with that. And my husband was definitely supportive as well. And one of the things that I also had to balance in there was being involved in my children's school. I volunteered there several times a week and was very active in PTA. So just trying to keep a good balance in helping to prioritize my kids and being there for them, but then also working in ministry. And what helped actually ease some of that was that I started out working from home. So that was good and challenging as well. So helping the kids to know when was a good time to interrupt mom and when wasn't a good time to interrupt. They were 10 and 7 at the time. So, you know, that was a challenge as well. So just helping them, like I said, to know when to interrupt mom and when mom needed to focus.
So were you able to, did you feel like early on you were able to set boundaries then? And because I know that that seems to be where anybody with the family struggles, of how do you set up boundaries when you're doing ministry? What kind of things did you wrestle with and how did you come to terms with it?
Well, it was definitely a challenge because the ministry that I stepped into at the beginning was still relatively new. And so there was a lot of work to be done. And I was so excited to do it. so it was hard for me to not throw myself into it. I was hired for a certain amount of hours, which anyone in children's ministry knows that you are not just hired for the amount of hours that you are hired
There's
for.
There's no such thing as part-time.
There's no such thing as
part-time. Part-time pay, but not part-time
That's
hours.
That's right. So that in itself was a challenge because I was hired part-time, but it wasn't part-time. And a lot of it just came from the fact that I loved it. And I wanted to do it. And I was so excited about it. So I think it was more pressure on myself that I put there on myself than might have come from any place else. Just wanting to do a good job and feeling like it was my time and that God had prepared me for this. So a lot of what I believe I dealt with came more from myself than from anybody else.
Yeah. I think we all tend to put pressure on ourselves. We're our greatest critics, you know, and
absolutely. absolutely.
You know, so it is a battle to find that balance, to figure out what can I do? What can I do? What should I do? When do I say no to both sides, family and the church? So obviously I think for men and women, we all agree that that's something we all struggle with. And that there's really not a way to balance it. Something's going to have to move. But the one thing that I've noticed, and this is going to, I'm going to probably get some guys mad at me for saying this, but I will tell you from my experience of being around kids ministry, I've always been at awe. I think there's a God-given wiring for a mom when she comes into kids ministry, for her organization and how she manages. You all manage things better than us guys. I'm just going to say it. All right? Guys, don't hate me. But oh well, I said it. I'm on recording. Because I think that's true. I think you ladies know how to balance or manage. That's the better word.
Yes. Now let me say that I agree with that. I agree with that. And let me give you an example of this. So I mentioned that I started out working from home. So I had my two children at the time. And then when my niece was born, I also took care of her at my house. So I had three kids in the house.
Uh-huh.
My work area was in our family room. So the kids were usually behind me playing with their toys or watching TV, and I'm on the computer or whatever. So I was able, because I'm a mom and there was a lot going on, I was kind of able to tune that out. All that background noise, I could still get done what I needed to. Right now, fast forward, right now my office at the church is in our preschool hallway. We have a weekday preschool at the church.
Uh-huh.
The end where my office is near the two-year-olds. Two-year-olds entering preschool. They cry for every day up until Thanksgiving. Okay, they cry every day. People are amazed that I am able to get my work done with so much noise going on around me. And I think it happens because of how I started out. So I think being a mom and being able to kind of work through all of that background noise has definitely been a benefit.
Yeah. Well, and you already said you were managing relationship with your husband. You had your kids.
Yes.
You had PTA. Yes. You had all the school stuff. Then you had the church stuff.
Yes.
My head just wants to just explode when I hear all, because I'm sitting there going, okay. Because I mean, and I know not every, you know, there are guys that are very extremely organized, and I'm not wired that way exactly, but I've always had this admiration that the moms that I've recruited onto my team have been some of my best organizers, I mean, they see all those little things and they're able to block out the noise.
Yes.
And get
like a champ. Yes, like a champ. Yes. Yes.
Yep. I think that's one of those questions I have for the Lord is, hey, why didn't you share that gift with us too? Because now my wife would say I have selective hearing, and my kids would probably say that too sometimes. If sports are on, I don't hear anything. I can block the world out.
Mm-hmm.
I just haven't equated that to ministry life yet. I get distracted and I have my squirrel moments every few seconds.
Now, to play devil's advocate a little bit, I think that a lot of women can attest to that while being multitaskers is a benefit in some situations, it's not always. So that's a challenge as well. I think that we can, speaking for myself, I can take on a lot more than I should at times.
Okay.
Because I don't think it'll take that much time. Oh, it's just this or that. So sometimes I can get myself in trouble.
Uh-huh.
And then I can complain to my husband about the workload that I have taken on because I think I can handle it. So I think it works in some situations.
Okay.
And then other situations, it can be a challenge.
That's a great point.
So you have to be careful with how much you say yes to.
Right.
I had read a book a few years ago by Lisa Turkhurst, The Best Yes, that was life-changing for me. So I would definitely recommend that to ladies who are listening to check that book out and learn how to save your yes for the best yes.
Okay. Excellent. Could you, I know we didn't, I gave you some questions ahead of them, but now that you said that, it made me think, what would be one of your best takeaways from that book? How did you apply some of the lessons you learned in there? Can you give us an example?
Well, one of the things was evaluating why you say yes to things.
Okay.
Are you looking to get something out of it? Are you doing it out of obligation? Are you doing it because you love it and you want to? So that to me was huge in thinking about, why do I say yes to things? Do I say yes because I'm afraid to say no? Am I afraid of hurting someone's feelings if I say no? So yes, I think that was a huge takeaway in evaluating why we say yes to things. And then being intentional in what you say yes to.
Okay.
So I would definitely recommend it.
Yeah. Do you think sometimes that women leaders say yes to their senior leaders because of that pressure that, you know, sometimes us guys, I mean, when my senior leader would come and say, hey, I need you to take on this project, there were times where I could, because I had that relationship. And I think because I was a guy, I could go back and go, dude, not happening right now. I got this and this going. Tell me what one you want me to knock off my list. Because do you feel like sometimes that women would rather not protest but say, okay, yeah, I'll take it on. And just like they said, yes, without, and then afterwards go, oh my, why did I not push back on this? Sometimes that happens?
I think it would definitely depend on the circumstance. I think for a woman who might not be invited to the table much to offer her opinion, I think that that type of opportunity would give her the chance to prove herself and maybe prove her skills. But then it could also challenge you a little bit. There are things that I've said yes to that I should have said no to, but saying yes helped me to strengthen some muscles that weren't as strong. So I do think we say yes because we don't want to say no. But everybody's reasoning for saying yes is definitely different.
Right. Okay. Good thought. All right. Well, let's turn the page a little bit more. Let's talk about some practical ministry stuff. I was recently following a conversation and saw that there was a lady leader who was struggling with recruiting guys, recruiting men into their ministry. How do you handle recruiting men to get into your teams?
For our guys who are fantastic, corporate, strong guys working 60 hours a week plus that want to come in and hang out with kids, I think it's great. One of the things that I have tried to do is to come at them in a male-friendly way. I think that being a woman leader, we can sometimes do things that appeal only to women. So for me, the conversation that I might have with a potential male leader would definitely look different. I would approach it from more of a mentoring, even for younger kids, of mentoring our young men and how our young men in our church could really benefit from having someone like them in their lives. So I think that that helps to get some of those men in, particularly for our younger kids. Dads who are doing a great job with their kids are also great people to ask. And tell them, I've seen you interact with your kids. You seem like such a great dad.
Oh, great.
I think that those skills that you have would really be great in our nursery. Would you consider serving with us? And those are the times that I have done some recruiting. But I think having other men recruit other men is also a wise thing to do. Have them be spokespeople for your children's ministry and men's groups and things like that, and really share the benefits that they have of serving with us. So I think anytime you can get them on board, or even asking them, you know, you're a guy, how can we get more guys in? So again, just having a conversation, getting their input on ways that I can approach men, but then also inviting them to help with that as well.
Great.
And I think that a lot of our men volunteers in particular like a challenge. So challenging them to maybe come up with one or two aspects of the morning, challenging them again by asking their input, like, what would you do differently here? Or, you know, in a few weeks, we're going to do a lesson on David and Goliath. What kind of suggestions do you have on that? And a lot of times our men will take more risks and do things that could potentially cause some injury to kids. So you might have to modify some of the, I have quite a few guys that, you know, are like rough and tough and don't mind kids, like, you know, putting them up on ladders or flinging them around the room. Like, you know, that's a great idea. Might not be the safest idea, but moderating it in some kind of way, altering it to make it work. But I know that a lot of our guy volunteers have helped me to take a few more risks. I would never put any child in danger.
Right.
But there have been some times where their ideas have been really phenomenal because of the ways that they want to bring the Bible to life. So they have stretched me in that in that way.
That's good. That's
so
good.
Yeah, and they just bring an element of fun. Just, you know, they're fun. And I think our ministry is definitely blessed because of the men that we have.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, that's good. I'm glad you shared that, because I do think it is true that there are a lot of guys intimidated, and we've got to do a better job of breaking down. And I know me as a male leader have worked hard at saying, look, children's ministry is not just women's work. Raising the kids is not just a woman's work.
Yes.
And so, but then I've had to say, well, but all the stuff that tends to happen down there in the kids area seems to be more for the girls than it does for the boys. And so a friend of mine gave me this tip a number of years ago, and I've shared it with lots of leaders about how I always encourage people when I'm coaching them to say, you need to think blue in your teaching, especially just to get boys involved in your lessons. You need to think blue. The girls will come along with it. But I think even recruiting, sometimes you got to think blue. You got to think, you know, I know there's a marriage curriculum that I've seen, and they say, look, we want you, if you want to do a married couple's night out, you need to gear this a lot more towards the guys to get them to come.
Yes. And, yes.
And they, so I think we're doing better at that. And so I'm glad you brought that point up, because I think a lot of ladies leaders, it would be encouraging to them to hear, to say, look, think about how you bring the masculine element in to your recruitment and into your kids ministry, so they know they can feel comfortable being a guy there. So I loved how you said, hey, approach it from a mentor standpoint, a big brother standpoint. I love that.
Not just even relegated to recruiting, like you mentioned, but from everything from some of your decor to your training themes.
Yes.
What kind of things would men like? Everything from the t-shirt that you have designed.
Yes.
Some of your print pieces. Because I think, you know, as women, we don't always think about things like that. But having in the back of your mind, like even with gifts that we buy to appreciate our volunteers. You know, how would our men volunteers like that? Or even some of the wording and some of the published curriculum can be need to be tweaked a little bit. So I think
I agree.
Thinking outside of that and keeping that in the back of your mind is definitely a benefit.
Yes, because, you know, some of the cute little ideas on Pinterest for the gifts for volunteers. And it's like, if I was, I mean, we're both on a lot of Facebook groups. And you see it as much as I do. That it's like when it comes around, and I'm you get just after Thanksgiving, that's when the threads start about, well, so what are you doing for your volunteers? And then you see all these little, I call them foo-foo things.
Cutesy. Yeah.
And I'm thinking the poor guys in their ministry are going to go, really?
I agree.
And I have been, I actually did a church training and I remember going in and everything, you know, there was little doilies on the table and they had these little finger foods. And and I watched some of the guys going into the room, and I know what I was thinking. I'm thinking, where's the meat? Where's, you know, give me something that, because I always joke about, I don't go into to Joann Fabrics or Hobby Lobby or whatever without holding on tightly to my man card, you know? So I think that was some great advice, Kathy, that ladies, if you'll think about for us guys, but then the same thing for us guy leaders, I will say it on the flip side, we guys can do a better job of making the ladies feel more comfortable too. So we need to look at it as a body of Christ. How do we minister to each other? And we do need to strike a balance in there somewhere. And I think sometimes we've let the pendulum shift too far, or we've let our own personality shade us in, and we do need to bring some other people in.
Right.
And say, how do you think? Because I liked how you said that, to ask the guys, excuse me, you know, what do you like, and what would attract you more? I think that's a good question to ask.
Yeah, I think we definitely need to even as far as our staffing and our key leaders. For me, I lead an all-female staff, but bringing in men to sit at the table with us and shoot some ideas off of them and bring them into the conversation. So it's a good idea to have some of those key leadership positions be guys. Mm-hmm. I think they would bring a unique perspective, and vice versa. If, right. you know, if you don't have a lot of women, in on your staff, to bring some ladies in and bounce some ideas off of them.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that brings us to another good question then. So what's a lesson that you've learned recently that you wished you had learned sooner in your ministry life?
For me, one of the greatest gifts to me have been friendships and network.
Uh-huh.
Being around and in communication with people who do what I do and think like I think. People who are ahead of me, as well as people who I am ahead of them.
Uh-huh.
When I started ministry, I was at a very small church. And I was new in this role, and I didn't really know a lot. And so having someone walking alongside with me was definitely a gift to me. And then being in a networking group of other children's ministry leaders inspired me to not all church mindset, even though I was in a small church, but to look at the bigger picture of what my ministry could be and not let the size of our budget and our building and our team and our kids' numbers really limit me to what else was out there. So I think definitely putting myself in the company of other leaders is something that I wish I had done sooner.
Okay. Let me ask you, when you look ahead at kids' ministry, what kind of things are you excited about when it comes to kid ministry?
I am excited about reaching parents. I think that parents are such a blessing to us. And obviously without them and their families, we would not have work or ministry to do. So I think having relationships with the parents and just asking about how their week was and how we can support them and just getting some feedback from them, just building up a relationship with them excites me. And a lot of new resources and things coming out to equip parents. I know that Orange has a new phase project, resources out to really help parents as they navigate the parenting journey. It's hard. And so I love ways that we as children's ministry leaders can come alongside them and equip them to lead their families.
Excellent. Excellent. And I know another thing you're excited about is this book that you have.
Yes.
And so tell us about it and how it came to be and how people can get it.
Well, I always had dreams for down the road, way, way down the road of writing a book. But it, like I said, it was way, way down the road because life is busy and I don't have a lot of time to even read books, let alone write one. So I did not see that happening anytime in this particular season of my life. But back in October of 2016, I was contacted by Rose Publishing to be part of a project that they were wanting to do. And I thought that the project was a collaborative project. And I thought, oh, that's great. I can be part of that. And they contacted me back and said, no, this would be your project. And I went from being excited to being scared to death. Like I said, I had never written a book before. I didn't know the process on doing it. But I liked the challenge. And I took that as an opportunity that God had really put in my lap to take advantage of. And so I said yes. after praying about it and talking to my husband about it, they gave me a very quick turnaround time. So I had 4 months to write the book. So that was a challenge as well. It was also on a topic that I never thought that I would write a book about. So the topic is object lessons. The book has 50 topical object lessons from A to Z. All of them are connected to a Bible verse and different Bible stories that you could use a particular object lesson for. Mm-hmm. It comes with discussion questions for teachers and leaders, good for homeschool parents or Christian educators as well. And it also has object lessons on holidays and games and children's toys and candy. All of the object lessons use things that you can easily get your hands on, that you probably already have in your resource closet or your kitchen cabinet. So that was very important to me, that the book be very practical. So it's written from a very practical standpoint. But I'm excited about it. I'm excited to get it into the hands of Kidman leaders and homeschool parents and Christian educators.
Yeah.
So it was a labor of love, but one that I'm really proud of.
Awesome. And so is it on Amazon? People can get it there?
It's on Amazon. It's on Barnes & Noble. It's on ChristianBook.com. It's also on RosePublishing.com as well.
Excellent. Well, I'm going to get my hands on a copy because, like I said, I'm an object lesson nut, and so I'm always looking for new ideas so that I can use it. So awesome.
Yeah.
So, Kathy, if somebody wants to get in touch with you, obviously tell us about your blog again, because I encourage people to read it. I read it. It's good, always good stuff, challenging thoughts.
So how
can people touch base with you?
Yes. So my blog is kidmeninspiration.com. It's Kidmen and Inspiration combined. We offer practical tips there for leaders and parents and volunteers. And on Twitter, I'm at Kidman Kathy, and on Instagram at the same handle.
Excellent. Well, Kathy, thanks for spending some time with me on this episode. And we definitely will have to get you back. Like I said, we're going to have to do a ladies round table. I still think it'd be fun to do.
So, I would love that. Thank you so much.
All right. So thanks again for being on the episode.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Kid Ministry Collective Podcast. We hope you've been informed, encouraged, and entertained for these few moments. We'd love for you to connect with us on our Kid Ministry Collective Facebook group or subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. It'd also mean a lot if you'd leave a review so we can help others learn about this podcast. If you want, you can watch this episode on video on our Kids Ministry Collective YouTube page. Our goal of the KMC is from Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Join us again soon for another KMC podcast.